It's been said that most people die at age 25 and wait to be buried at age 65. So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us who believe in God and read the Bible preparing for the financial danger that the bankers and brokers do not want us to know about? How do we resist a life that's less than we are promised and hold on to our dreams so that we can live in fullness every day? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the secret. My name is Nate Scott, and welcome to the Life is Rich podcast.
All right, Michelle Thomas, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Nate?
Doing great, doing great. Listen, I'm so delighted to actually finally get a chance to jump on here with you to capture your story and introduce you to my audience, because we share several things in common, one being veterans. And so I'm excited to have you share your story and share the value that you have and just whatever the Lord has in your spirit to deliver to this broad audience. And so if you wouldn't mind, let's just start out by you just telling us a little bit about who you are.
So my name is Michelle A. Thomas, very, very popular name. So I like to throw the middle initial in there. I am originally from Brooklyn, New York. I am one of six. My family is from the Caribbean. And so I was the first in my family to graduate college, go on to get a master's degree in marriage and family. I also joined the military in the process, got married, had a baby, and, you know, life was just going well. So I do a number of things. We had a huge blow up in my life, and God just produced just wonderful things from it. And so I'm a person that, like, I never leave a dark place empty handed. So I am one of these people that just look for God in the midst of a horrible situation. What is he doing? How can I be blessed? What can I do to bless others? So that's a little bit about myself.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, because we both share that faith walk. You know, this is Life is Rich with Nate Scott. And life is rich means I live in fullness every day because I realize I am Christ's heir. That means spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, and financially. And so I'm so excited to hear how you have recognized the hand of God through your life circumstances. And so I'd love for you just to jump right into it. Let's talk about that story behind FBI and being the Olivia Pope coaching.
Okay, so I wrote a book called When Scandal Comes Home. It's Navigating the Darkness with the Light of Integrity, and it's available on Amazon, or you can go to the website, whenscandalcomeshome.com. And so here's what happened. My ex-husband, I should say my husband at the time, we were living in Alabama. We both got ordained, and we had the mantle to spread the gospel the next season of our life. And so we were headed to Texas. He took a job out here and things are going well. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to a point in your life where everything that you've prayed for is finally coming to pass. You're like, yeah. Like, thank you, Lord. Prayer works. Yes. And you're excited. And it was like that for the first 6 months. And then all of a sudden I am home and my husband at the time, he comes home early and I'm like, hey, what's going on? Are you sick? Because it's not like him to come home from work early. And he said, well, I got sent home. I was just like, well, what happened? He was like, yeah, I got sent home based on some allegations. And I was like, allegations about what? And he says, about inappropriate behavior. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, did you do something inappropriate? And he was like, no, I don't know what they're talking about. Now, at this time, we were married for 13 years. Okay, so if my husband said he ain't doing anything inappropriate, I'm like, look, we got your back. We're in a good place. You know, we're both doing ministry. You know, we're working. Like, I'm good. I'm like, I'm ready. Well, so it was like a couple months later, I was like on the side of my house doing some yard work, and I noticed two gentlemen leaving my house. Now, I didn't see them come in. I just saw them leaving. It was in the middle of the day. Honestly, like, I just assumed that they were two Jehovah's Witnesses trying to convert us. I promise you, that's what I thought. And so, you know, I just kind of waved and then I go on inside and I was like, well, who is that? What's going on? Because I'm like, if Jehovah Witnesses come by, we're saved. Just offer them a bottle of water. It's hot out here in this Texas heat, okay? They tried, but it's hot. Okay? Give them some water and send them on their way. We know Jesus. We're good. And so we get there. I get inside and I'm talking and he was like, no, that was the FBI. And I'm like, what? What is the FBI doing here? And he was like, it's in reference to the allegations and they wanted to talk to me. And he basically said, they saw me outside and they saw the girls in the house. At that time, we had two girls. And they were just like, well, we can't question them here. It's like they had a level of reverence for our home. It was like, we're not going to do that. She probably has no idea what's happening. The girls are innocent. Let's just have him come on over to our office. So they told him, come on down to our office. We'll question you there about the allegations. Now me, I'm just, listen, I had this brother's back. I was like, you ain't doing nothing wrong. Mm. So me, you know, just being in ministry, because I remember it was a Wednesday and we were preparing to have service at the house because we were doing a middle of the week, you know, Bible study in the house. So, you know, I'm preparing the atmosphere. I'm praying, worshiping, cleaning up the yard, like ready for these people to come in. And, you know, so he goes out. I'm like, you didn't do anything wrong. You have nothing to hide. So just go. So I promise you, I thought that this was just an accusation and that he was going to be promoted after that. It was not. Mm-hmm. I get the call from him like hours later and I'm like, hey, man, you've been gone forever. Like, what's going on? And he's just like, well, now that I know what they're talking about, I did do something. It was just a couple minutes of sex. And I'm like, what the? And I blacked out. Like, I collapsed on the ground. All right, I remember where I was standing in my bedroom and I just fell out because I was so sure that he was an innocent man, but he wasn't innocent. He wasn't just being charged with, you know, having an affair. It was the person he was with was accusing him of rape. He was being charged with rape. And because of the position that he held in the federal government, it was rape. And so I'm thinking, my God, this is when scandal comes home. And so this is what I try to talk to people about. Like, scandals could be a spouse messing around. It could be kids, you know, getting caught up with drugs and alcohol. It could be your accountant messed your taxes up. And, you know, a scandal can look like anything to anyone. But this is when the stuff had really hit the fan. It came out in the media. It was on the front page of the paper. It was all over the news, like, for everyone to comment. It was humiliating. It was just like, people have affairs. I understand that. I don't condone it. I understand it happens. But we didn't even have an opportunity to deal with it privately. It was public. And it was just like everything that I had believed we were working towards, it was just coming to an end. It was done. He ended up going to prison for it because of the nature of his job and his position. It was rape. So he ended up going to prison. Even in the process of him being in prison, he got served papers. He was being sued. Like, what? It went from bad to worse. Like, it was the worst. Like, when I tell you, it was worse than a nightmare. You just wish it was a bad dream, but it wasn't. And so I had to hold on to my faith in Jesus. I had to hold on to the girls trying to make everything work. He made the bulk of the money. So when he's in prison, that money's not coming in. I'm trying to still support the girls, trying to keep my head above water. I didn't even care about myself. It was just like, just grab on, try to hold on to something, okay? And, you know, we made it. We made it. You know, I later divorced him because I realized that this was not going to work for us. Like, this is just, it's one of these situations where it's not a win. It's a loss. And I had to accept that loss after 16 years because I fought and I vacillated back and forth. Like, do I stay? Do I go? Like, it was just too much. And at this point, this had not been his first offense with infidelity. It was his second. And I was just like, you know what? We got to go. I can't hold on. And because we were in ministry, I was so desperate to make it work, right? I wanted this thing to work so I can have this wonderful testimony. But I realized I was dying inside. It was like, I looked at myself and I'm like, what am I doing? I got to that point, like, this is crazy. I would never advise anyone to do this. And when I realized like I was going down this crazy path of just trying to prove forgiveness, prove love, prove ministry, prove Jesus, I'm like, that's all pride. It was all pride. And once I got to that place where I would hear God's voice and he would just whisper things to me, to let me know that I was going to be okay with whatever decision I made a decision and I walked away. And so that's why, you know, I call it When Scandal Comes Home, because sometimes you're just minding your own business and bam, you get hit with a major blow, a phone call, so a knock at the door, an email, something you were not expecting or you were praying would never happen to you. It shows up. And so that's one of the reasons why I call the book When Scandal Comes Home. And so I try now to encourage people not to lose their identity in the middle of a scandal, because what happens is it consumes you, right? That's all you're trying to do is make it right. You're trying to fix things. You're trying to get back to some form of normalcy in your life. When a scandal hits, you are not going back to normal. You have to accept that this is going to be a new normal for you. And I was fighting to accept that. I just wanted my old life back. That's all I want. and it wasn't coming back. So I had to learn how to find my identity in the middle of a scandal, in the middle of shame and hurt, pain and change. Like, who are you? Who are you outside of all of this? And so that's what I help people do now. You know, maintain their identity and their dignity. Because I felt like I had lost my dignity in the middle of it. I was so desperate and I was doing things that I would never advise my daughters to do. You know, a friend or a sister, I'm like, pull yourself together. You look crazy. You know, I was that person. And so I help people now to just navigate through their scandals and their hardships and, you know, to find their true identity, walk that thing out, live out their purpose, even in the midst of a scandal. So that's what I do.
Wow. Wow. So many things come to mind and I appreciate you sharing that. I mean, I can't stress enough the pivotal moment for you and the blessing in it, because, you know, God never places more on us than we can actually handle. And it's always meant for us to be prepared for something else. And so I can't help but to ask, what do you think are some things in your life that has prepared you to make this pivot, the pivot from that scandal as a result of you going through it? What prepared you to be able to go through it so that you would also then be able to pivot into a life of service?
I will say the first thing, of course, my walk with God, because he was whispering things to me that no one else could say to me. And he understood, like, this thing is coming, boo. It's coming whether you want it or not. The second thing, I had the best support system, okay? And they helped me with the pivot. And those times when I didn't know what to do, they were there just saying, I'm here for you. I believe in you. You got this. You're going to make it through this. And then, of course, I had my girls. I couldn't let them down. They already at that point had lost their dad because he was in prison. And I'm like, I'm the only one here, like, that's solid that they can really rely on. So I had to show up. There was no option, you know? So I had to make that move. So I'm a firm believer about having a great team. I know we're in a generation where it's like, cut them off, X that, you know, you cut everybody off. I'm like, hold on a minute. Some things and some people you should cut off, but there are others that you still need in your life. And that's having a really good support system. And they really did help me with the pivot. And there was just times when I'm like, enough already. You know I've been built for so much more. And I will tell you, I had gone to a retreat. And I think that was a pivotal moment as well too. And it was just like, once you get away from your environment, which I believe people need to do when they're in the middle of a crisis or a scandal, it takes some time to unplug from your actual community, get outside of that area. Cause sometimes it's just, some people call it a vibe or a spirit. It's just like a weight, a heaviness that's reminding you, you're gonna have to get away from that. Cause once you get away long enough, you'll have an opportunity just like to see things from the outside looking in. And you can clear your mind. And I had an opportunity to do that. And one of the ladies, you know, she called me up a couple of years later, says, "Hey, I noticed that you were changing," and she could see the change in my demeanor and in my face, like the glow up. I was like, yeah, it felt like I was doing this thing, right? And she said, "Hey, what do you think about coming on and talking to the ladies about, you know, your testimony with God?" And I was like, I was being religious, I'm going to be honest. I'm like, let me pray about that. So I was a teacher at the time, and I was in my classroom cleaning up after school. And I was like, "God, do you want me to tell 1,000 people about how you blessed me?" And I'm like, yeah, I want you to share. And so that's what I did. I said, yes, I'll do that. And I got up in front of 1,200 women, and I told my story. I told that testimony. And I want to tell you this. It blessed so many people. Like every break, there was a line of women talking to me, ready to speak with me, just wanting to connect with me. Not because they felt sorry for me, it's because they had experienced something that no one else was talking about. No one would come out and talk about it on a public platform. Everyone was just pretending like everything was A-okay. And I was brave enough to do it. And so from then on, I was like, hey, maybe I still need to do that. Maybe, just maybe, God wants me to talk about this so I can help heal some hardened hearts. And so that's what I did, you know? So that was part of the pivot, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, what's great about what you just now communicated, I think is so powerful, is because I think when we reflect on that process, it provides some major insights that can only be gained through experience. But then when you're actually able to recall it, then that's where wisdom comes in. And that's really how we best serve people, is that we give people an opportunity to learn through those things in which we've gone through. And that's where wisdom comes in. So many times people bump their heads against things, trying to do it, to figure it out on their own, to go and gain the experience. But wisdom, everybody can tap into. It's just recognizing that there's someone that's already been through that walk that you can tap into, that can move you through it. Another thing I'd like to add is that, you know, with Life is Rich, my singular focus is really showing people how to think versus what to think. And what I hear from your story is that in the midst, you weren't just talking about God, you were actually walking with God. You know, that Miles Monroe says that knowledge is information, understanding is comprehension, but wisdom is applied knowledge. And so I appreciate hearing you being able to lean in on him, but then also to take some real practical steps. Would you mind sharing some of those practical steps that you took as you made your transition, and also the steps that you help, which allows you to actually help other people to move through a crisis?
Yes. So there was a number of things that I did. The first, and I feel like this is something that people tend to do. When a crisis or a scandal hits, the first thing people want to do is tell their side of the story. But, and sometimes running out and telling your side of the story, you're opening up yourself to all the questions. And you may not be ready to answer some of these questions. And there are times when people may even accuse you in telling your story. And so the first thing I say is to stay off social media, okay? Do not put your crisis or your scandal on social media, all right? Leave it alone, okay? Do not get reckless in those thumbs and start posting something that will actually cause you to constantly relive and relive it. If you don't want to relive it, do not post it, okay? So that's the first thing. Second, I think it's all about communication. You have to communicate with those people that you love. Talk to them, be transparent, be honest, be truthful. Okay, give them a space where they understand, okay, I'm going through something and I may say some things that you may not like right now. I may sound a little crazy. Give me that grace. You've got to communicate with people, because if you don't communicate, they're going to assume. So you rather just have that conversation with trusted individuals, not everyone, your trusted team, your close-knit friends and family, okay? The second thing, I say, look, you got to have a good attorney. You got to have a good advisor. You got to have sound people around you, a great team that you can actually talk to. The next thing I totally believe is, look, you got to deal with what's going on. So I'm a big and I'm a firm believer in therapy. Okay, so yes, you can have Jesus and therapy, a life coach. You have to have someone that you can talk to work out and process what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. Don't try to just do this thing on my own. I'm just going to pray about it. Friend, you need more help. Okay, yes, you can pray, but I suggest you also want to have that help as well too, to help you ask yourself some of these hard questions that you may not even think about asking yourself. Okay, that way you can go to prayer with something. All right, so that's the next thing. Also, I believe in just embracing the newness. All right. We, like I said earlier, we all want to go back to our old life. You're not going back to your old life. And as soon as you accept that that old life is over, your life begins to change and you begin to pivot and you begin to get strengthened, like this is something new. Yes, you don't like it. There are going to be many days when you do not like it, but you accept it, you embrace it, and you embrace all the possibilities that can come with it. I never thought in a million years that I'd be speaking in front of thousands of people and even being on a show. I said, well, they're all this stuff. Wow. But it wasn't wasted, right? God used that. You know, another thing I would, like, I got points because I'm about my business here. So I really want people to get this so they know that this is something that they can do, okay? The next thing, I want you to keep a good attitude. Yes, you're going through a scandal or a crisis. You feel like your life is over. I don't want you to die in the valley, okay? Don't die here. I don't want you to have any thoughts of just giving up and losing hope. It got really, really dark for me, okay? Scary dark. And I know it did for my ex-husband. And it's that fear of just saying, I'm losing my family. I'm losing my money. I'm losing my reality. I feel like I'm losing my mind. I just want it out of here. But I encourage you to hold on, okay? Keep that attitude. There is light after the scandal, right? You're going to get through this, all right? And then another thing I want you to, you know, lesson, what are you learning? I start off telling people, never leave a dark place empty-handed. What did you learn? Who are you going to become, all right? So I encourage people to journal. You got to journal, all right? Write down your thoughts. I'm big on gratitude. I love to laugh. I always try to find humor in something. I'm kind of silly like that, but it works for me. So I really want you to think about the lessons. What are you learning from this? Who are you going to become? Who is God revealing that's coming out? Okay, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, talk about it, write it down, all right? Those are some of my points right then and there. And then I want you to know, this is the last thing, because I got so many. It's time. Every scandal has an end date, okay? Scandals don't last forever, all right? It's gonna be over eventually. My scandal took a number of years to be over. It's like 3 years, 3 year nightmare, but it's over now and I'm good. So I want you to be encouraged. Like, there's an end date to this thing. It's not gonna last forever. I know it feels like it, but it's not. So I hope that helps the audience.
Wow. No, you dropped some major practical steps. And the beautiful thing is they can always go back and re-listen to it. You know, I think that it's so great to hear the joy as you're communicating it on the other side. But many times what people see in person in a person's life is the other side. They don't know about that which they had to go through in order to get to the other side. It's kind of like they want the championship without putting the work in the weight room and going through those tested times. You know, the beautiful thing about it is, though, it's all about the setup. God sets us up for his purpose. He sets us up so that he can be glorified. And you're truly walking that out. It's exciting to me to see a believer who's a professional that's delivering value and is intentional about serving in this manner, because with life is rich, it's about the fullness of God. Life is rich means I live in fullness every day because I realize I am Christ's heir. That means spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, and financially. So I'm curious, as you were going through this, how was your health impacted? And what do you now know in hindsight, what would you say to someone about the importance of taking care of themselves?
Okay, I love that question. And because that was something that I never even thought about bringing up. So the initial shock of the news, my body was like impacted. It really was. And that was something I think sometimes people overlook. It felt like my insides were in knots. I couldn't eat, but my body was still acting like I was eating. Like I was in physical pain. It was horrible. And so it took some time for that knot, that feeling to kind of go away. But I can tell like around my neck was just very thin. I could see my face, like my features were, they were changing because I was going under so much stress. Like I was losing weight. Like it was crazy. And so one of the things that, you know, once I started getting some form of stability, I began to exercise and I started walking even more. And even after the scandal had happened, I would go for walks and I would just, this was my time to pray and just kind of release because I knew my body was saying, you have to do something. You can't stay in this house and just feel miserable. You have to get out. And so my body was saying, you have to go walk. You have to go walk. And that was what I did. I would walk all the time. I started drinking these healthy smoothies, which I love. And so I tend to do that as well too. But my health, I did see a change in it. And once I, like I said, once I was on some solid ground and there was some level of stability, it was like I was able to build myself back up. But also forgiveness, all right? That played a major part in my health, okay? The glow showed up when I started forgiving and I just started releasing things. And so I could tell the shift and the change in my body once I began to forgive. So yeah, that was a good question. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because with my message, I focus on women in a life transition. And that life transition could be divorce, it could be a change of career, it could be a job loss. In this case, a scandal. You know, that thing that in turn shakes up one's whole world. And that's why that foundation of spiritual, mental, emotional, relational as a core is so important. But after that core and that foundation that we stand upon, we then see the manifestation physically and financially. And I describe it as worry. You know, financial worry deals with the mind.
Yeah.
Then from there, you have financial, then you have stress, which deals with the body. And then you have anxiety, which is the mind and the body. If you would, what did you discover that caused you to make some shifts and prepare you in speaking with others that go through a scandal about finances?
Okay, so the financial part was really hard for me because my ex had, he made the bulk of the money, like 80% of the money, okay? And we had a lifestyle that matched it. And I understood I couldn't maintain that lifestyle. And I, of course, I just ended up inherited some of that debt and I was working. Like my finances took a major toll. And I think that was the hardest thing, just trying to keep my head above water and pay all these bills. And it wasn't that I wanted to, and I want to say this because a lot of times people assume you just want to maintain a quote unquote lifestyle. So you want to keep the big house, you want to keep the flashy cars. And actually, that's not really what it really is sometimes. Sometimes we're desperate to just keep stability, okay? You lose your spouse, right? You lose your money, you lose your marriage, your reputation, like the whole community is ending, like you losing family. Can I just keep my bed? You know? And so you're doing things to hold on to your quote unquote home, and it's expensive. And so for me, I had multiple jobs. I was doing this, doing that, just trying to keep my head above water. And so my finances took a major hit. But I do want to tell people, like, you know, we have to be careful of some of the assessments we make about people, assuming that they wanted to keep a look or, you know, present this facade. Sometimes it's just the stability that comes with knowing that this is my bathroom. Right? This is my bed. This is my room. This is the kitchen where we had our family meals. I'm just trying to hold on to that just a little bit longer. But, you know, my finances took a major hit. And so me knowing that, especially getting sued, even in the process with legal fees, it wiped out our retirement. Okay. And we lost pretty much everything. So I had to start back from, when I say scratch. So you can go from this huge house to a tiny little two-bedroom apartment, just trying to hold on to some level of stability. And I really needed to keep my kids in their same school. And so the area that I lived in, they didn't have, you know, low income or anything like that. It was just like, they didn't even have apartments. I was just, by the grace of God, I was able to find the place that was still attached to the school zone because I needed my kids to have that level of stability. The teachers knew them. This is where all their friends went. So, you know, the finances took a hit because I needed to stay in this community for my children and create that stability for them. But it took years, about 3 years. 3 years after it, to come back to a place where I'm like, I purchased my own home. This is my first home post-divorce. Like, we had rental property. We lost that. Like, it was a huge hit. But I finally purchased my first home post-divorce. So I'm saying it's going to take some time, but your finances can bounce back too. You're going to bounce back, and so will your finances. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's so important because it ties into why I speak about the cash flow danger that no one is talking about. I address the fact that 77 million baby boomers are retiring and facing a cash flow danger, that 66 out of 100 people age 65 earn less than $30,000 of retirement, that 47% of people say if they had a $400 emergency, they'd have to sell something or borrow money to address it, and 68% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. But that right there is the reality that oftentimes happens after a life transition. Something like a scandal pops up.
That it happened.
Something, and you could be on top of the world.
Yeah.
Much, and all of a sudden, it's gone. And you might have been building wealth. You've been looking at your net worth. You got your assets, but you don't live off of that. You live off of cash flow. And that's why I'm so passionate about serving women, is because women outlive men. Women oftentimes will get divorced later in life. Women will oftentimes be in the sandwich generation where they're taking care of their children as well as their parents.
Yep.
In the workplace later on. And now we're dealing with the wage gap, hasn't been putting away money for retirement, doing so, and then having to now make this adjustment. It's like all those things. And so I think it's just so, so important that when we talk about these real life issues that we can't predict, but we can absolutely be forward thinking and recognize through wisdom by looking at other people's lives and say, you know what? Real things happen to good people.
Yeah.
It can happen to you.
Yeah.
So let's see what you need to be doing while you've got it good.
Yes. 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 And I totally agree. Like I said, we were making really good money. We had rental property, you know, we had, you know, a vacation spot to go to, like, we were good. And then we lost all that and I had to start all over again. So I think preparation is best. And so, yeah, good. I think it's necessary.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I definitely want to continue on with you about, because you're doing some great work, because again, that emotional part. And many times that's what we need. We need to be able to have someone that can empathize, that can understand, that can walk us through. But then we also need to be able to be practical. And that's really where that whole message of Life is Rich comes in. It's that simply recognizing that foundationally on Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Those are the instructions. But then there's the promise that all things thereafter shall be added unto you. And I believe that's spiritual, mental, emotional, relational, physical, financial. And so if we're believers and we believe that, then what we have to do is simply grow our capacity so that we can actually be more. And be more simply means be all that God has called us to be, not do, but be. It's about who we be versus what we do. And so, Michelle, as we move forward in this next season for you, what impact do you want to make?
Well, you know what? I've been asked this question before, and there are times I'm like, how many marriages can I save that would be enough? You know, like, if I save one, would that be enough? If I save 100, would that be enough? I'm like, if I can plant enough seeds that will keep families together, that's what I want to do. If I can help a woman turn her life around, which I have, you know, and it's, you know, a lot of people say, man, I was watching you. And it's like, thank you so much. And because of you, I knew I could do it. And I'm like, I love hearing that. I want to make a worldwide impact because it brings a spirit of humility across the atmosphere. Like, scandal can happen to anyone, but then it also brings a level of confidence. Like, you can get through this and then you can help the next person. Like, there's always a hand ready to help, like ready to extend and help. And so my impact would really be to help people all over the world who are experiencing any type of crisis or scandal to know that they can get through this. I want to prevent suicides. I want to prevent broken homes. I want to protect a legacy from being damaged. You know, like, I want our kids to grow up and say, okay, I saw the mistakes that mom and dad made. I'm not going to do that. We'll do something different. And then build from there. So, I mean, just a worldwide impact. And as many people that have ears to hear, listen, I'm speaking to you. If you got ears to hear, I'll need you to listen. So that's my desire, to really keep families together and build strong legacies.
If you got someone listening right now that's hearing your voice and hearing your message, what would be the next step for them to take?
Mm-hmm. Well, one, I would say you are more than welcome to connect with me. I try to be very transparent and open. You can go to my website, iammichelleA.com. You can find me there. But if you can't, I need you to find a good, solid team. All right? Look around you. And who is someone that you need? You know that they are strong in financial wisdom, right? Let them call you. Like, money's looking funny. I need to have you on my teammate. Like, I'm calling him up. Okay. Who else can you talk to? If you're not speaking to a therapist or a life coach, like, you absolutely positively need that. Of course, if you are listening to this, chances are you're a believer. And even if you're not, you know, that counsel is wonderful. All right. But actually understand who you need on your team and what they're going to bring to the table. You need some strong people when you're going through a crisis or a scandal. You can't have people that's giving you mixed information. You got to know, if he's good in finances, this is the person I'm going to talk to. You're not talking to your aunt that don't know anything about finances. You leave her over there in the praying. You need her for prayer, okay? You want your aunt for prayer, okay? But you're going to utilize me for my finances, all right? Don't cross-contaminate, okay? Save yourself the hardship, okay, and the pain, because they could say the wrong thing and then it's all in your head. No, don't do that to yourself. Know what people's strengths are, hold on to that, and then utilize those strengths while you're in the middle of your crisis. So I think that's some great, just sound, practical things that you can do right now, very easy. And if you don't know, pray about it. Ask God to send the right people into your life. I assure you, if you're listening to this, he's already done it for you. So, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, tell me this. Tell me something that you would, that people would be surprised to know about you. What would be something that would be a surprise about something that you've done, places you've visited, or something you're interested in?
Well, let me think about one. I think I'm pretty goofy. I think that's something people would be really surprised about, because they look at me and I can be very serious, very about my business, which I am, but there's a lighter side to me. I'm really silly, really goofy, love to laugh. What else about me? I did serve in the military. That's one of those things that people are surprised. They think Air Force. I'm like, no, Army, you know, like, I did do that as well too. And then I come from Caribbean roots. So that's the other thing. Yeah.
Awesome. Lastly, talk to me about, I understand that you participated in the Great American Speak Off.
Yeah.
How was that experience for you? And how was that experience for you? What was that about?
Okay, so it was a rush. I absolutely loved it. And I understand sometimes you have those mountaintop experiences. That was one of it. And I one of those experiences. I love meeting just people. I love connecting, meeting great people. I normally speak on mainly church platforms. I'm 100% in ministry. And so people call me in, and this was my first time doing something outside of ministry. So that was a little unique for me. And so I said, okay, let's see how far I can go. Because I also understand, like, I try not to box God in. He can use me anywhere. And so sometimes I have those Esther moments where I'm like, okay, I'm not going to quote scripture, but I'm going to show up as a light in this dark world. Okay, you're going to know his presence is here. Even if I don't quote a single scripture, you know God's with me. And so I love that. I love, and that was it. I think it was just meeting wonderful people, having an opportunity to share a different side, a different story. And then, you know, I got a chance to meet some judges, you know, and I didn't get all the yeses, but I did get one yes. Okay. I got three no's and one yes. And that one yes came from Grant Cardone, the billionaire. And that told me that I was on the right path. Okay. And it confirmed the things that God was speaking. And I want people to know this, that even in the middle of your scandal and your crisis, there may be a lot of people that may attack you or critique you. And you're going to have to know how to shift those voices to the side and listen to the voice of the one person that actually believes you and supports you and are there for you. And Grant saw me. He got me immediately. I was in there for 1 minute, and it made perfectly good sense to him. So that one yes. So I encourage you to look for that one yes that you need to help build you up in your life. And so that's what Grant Cardone did for me. So I absolutely love that experience at the Great American Speak Off. And again, just meeting fabulous people, and got a chance to meet you too. So it was a win-win-win for me.
Awesome. Awesome. That one yes. That one yes. Well, Michelle, it's truly, truly a delight to meet you. I loved your energy. I loved your engagement. I love hearing your story and watching you share your message on the stage. And more importantly, today, I love the opportunity to be able to put you before others and allowing them to hear your voice and hear your story and meet people where they're at. And so I look forward to, you know, what is to come. I'm going to leave it in your hands. Any parting words that you'd like to share?
I will say this, because a lot of times, even with wealth and thinking rich, my theory, I kind of want to be like so healed that people don't even know I've experienced a scandal. And to me, that's success, that's wealth, that's abundance. When people look at me and they're like, really? And that's what healing can do for you. So I want, if anyone's listening to this, if they think it's just a monetary thing, I'm like, there is more. I want to be so wealthy in my healing that people cannot even tell that I've experienced the scandal. And you can too, all right? So that's my form of richness.
Thank you for listening to the Life is Rich podcast. I'm your host, Nate Scott. Remember, if I tell you, you'll forget. If I teach you, you'll remember. But if I involve you, you'll learn. One way to get involved is to rate, subscribe, and leave feedback on iTunes by answering the question, what did you like best about what you heard? One of the problems faced by Christian entrepreneurs striving for success is having an alliance with like-minded people working together for a common, definite objective. Would you like to join a community of Life is Rich soldiers? If so, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast on iTunes and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846 for the link and this month's free book. Again, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846. Again, my name is Nate Scott. Take care and be blessed.